Amen. If you could remain standing just a little bit longer, and if you could just take your Bibles out, and we're going to go to the Word of God in Matthew chapter 8. We're going to start our reading in verse 5. Hopefully those joining us online are able to get their Bibles out as well. I know it seems a bit strange that I would ask you to turn in your Bible and then at the same time provide the scripture on the screen. Now, this is for reinforcement. I prefer that you have your own Bible in whatever way, hopefully a hardcover one, so you're not distracted by notifications on your phone. But if you don't have one of those, you use your phone. Make sure you put your phone on flight mode so that you're not distracted. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, and say amen if you've got it. Okay, we better wait a bit longer. A few people haven't got it yet. Say amen if you've got it. All right, that's a few people. That's good. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Now, centurions were important people, all right? This centurion came to Jesus and said, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. This centurion's servant was sick. And Jesus said unto him, I'll come and I'll heal him. I like that. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Okay, get that. There's a theme about to start showing up in this scripture. The centurion says, Lord, I am not worthy that you would come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. He goes on to say, for I am a man under authority. Everyone say under. He says, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. He says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And I say to another, come, and he cometh. And I say to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Everybody say, he marveled. And he said to those that followed, he said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. Not even amongst my own people. I haven't found faith like this. Not even in Israel. Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed the selfsame hour. This portion of scripture caught my attention because there's something there that I have never really focused on. He says, Jesus, come, my servant's sick. And then the centurion said, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. He understood something about authority. And then he said, I am a man under authority. And I have men that are under me. You see, he's an army man. He's a centurion. He's a pretty important guy. He understands authority. He understands submission. And then Jesus finishes it all up, Sister Davina, and he says, you know what? This is marvelous. The Bible says, and Jesus marveled at their faith. He turned to everybody else and said, I haven't seen faith like this before, not even amongst my own people. And so I want to make this title today, Jesus Marveled. Or maybe I should put the title in the term of a question. What makes Jesus marvel? What makes Jesus marvel? Lord, we thank you for your word today. Lord, let faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And Lord, in this house, Lord, I come against any distraction that would try to steal away the word today. Lord God, let our ears hear and let our hearts be soft and ready to receive. Lord God, that you would speak a rhema word into our lives today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. What makes Jesus marvel? What makes Jesus marvel? The captain of a ship, a big ship, aircraft carrier, just happened to be sailing in the dark of the night with the fog and the cloud and the darkness. And the captain of the ship, this big aircraft carrier, He looks out in the distance from the driver's seat there. I forgot what you call it in a boat, but he looks out there. If David was here, he would have told me. But he looks out the front and he sees a light in the distance. And so immediately he tells his signalman, he goes, okay, signalman, I need you to send a message. Tell them to alter their course 10 degrees south. And so the signalman gets on the radio and he goes, alter your course 10 degrees south. And he promptly receives a reply back. It says, no, you alter your course 10 degrees north. The furious captain sent another message. Send another one. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. And soon the reply was received back again. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman, Third Class Jones. The captain sent a final message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. And the reply was, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. What a beautiful picture that paints. It paints a picture of submission. Maybe even more so, though, it paints a perfect picture of the struggle of submission. Because in this story, where they're radioing back and forth, somebody had to submit, but only one was able to submit. The only one able to submit was the battleship, the aircraft carrier. The lighthouse couldn't move. And I submit to you today that we must not try to direct our own lives, but we must yield to the directions of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. On Wednesday night, we studied in our small groups. We talked about the importance of hearing the voice of God and how we can hear the voice of God. And I tell you, in this world, there are so many voices speaking out of us. We live like that battleship. We live in dark, foggy, uncertain, unknown times. And in these times, there's voices, Sister Hannah, coming at us from every direction. The voices over the media, the voices from our peers, the voices in our schools, the voices in the workplaces, the voices of popular opinion. And they're speaking to us saying, this is how you ought to think. This is how you ought to act. This is what is right. This is what is wrong. This is how you should raise your children. This is how you should spend your money. You know, there are so many voices coming out at us from everywhere. There's voices. Voices telling us what to do. Voices shouting instructions into the night. And it's like our flesh wants one thing. And the voice of our flesh speaks and says, oh, I want this and I want that. But then there's a voice. And sometimes it's just the still small voice. But there's a voice that tells us to do everything opposite to everything that the world is telling us to do. There's this voice, and our flesh often argues with that voice. Sometimes we think, you know what? I'm a battleship. And we begin to argue with the lighthouse. The voice of our flesh often argues with the light of the world. Jesus says, no, I'm not moving anywhere. You move your course. You change your direction. You submit to me. And if we're not careful, brothers and sisters, we can think we're a battleship. We can think we're something. We can think we know a lot. But let me tell you, you might be a battleship, but he's the lighthouse. And if you keep neglecting his voice, and if you don't submit to his direction, I tell you, it will be at your own peril. Submission. It's a challenging topic to speak about. It kind of goes against our grain. But I have seen so many people shipwrecked in my life simply because of a lack of submission to God and a lack of submission to godly authority. But when it comes to us, this relationship between us and God, the story that I told you today paints the picture exactly how it is. Because he is the lighthouse. And he is never going to submit to our wills and our desires. As much, Brother Alex, as we may try to twist his arm, as much as we might like to think that we can negotiate with God, God is never going to submit to our will, and he's never going to submit to our ways. God may just say, okay, I've spoken. Now you do what you want and you can reap the consequences. He may just take his hand off the situation and say, okay, I've spoken enough. I mean, you're just going to have to keep sailing the way you want to sail, and you're going to come a cropper. It's going to be at your own peril. And you know what? He will be there to help us when we cry out to him. We think about Peter when he started going under the waves. Yes, Jesus was there to help him. But you're never going to twist God's arm to change his mind and get God to do things the way that you want to do. Because Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9 says this. It says, his ways, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God is saying, I am on another level. I am on another plane. I think on a different level. My thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways. And you know, even in spite of that, even though we know it, that God is God, you know, you can't out-God God. Let me tell you that. You're not God. He's God. And even though we know that, submission can be a struggle, submitting to God. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Everybody say submit. Everybody say humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Woohoo! I want to be exalted. I want to be blessed. I want the favor of God in my life. I want divine favor. I want divine provision. I want salvation. I want to be exalted in due time. But there's a struggle to submit. But there is also a strength in submission. There is a power in submission. And here it is today. You read that scripture, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If you want to be exalted in due time, then you got to learn to submit in real time. We all look forward to the blessings of God. We all look forward to the provision of God. We all look forward to the favor of God. But if you want to be exalted in due time, then you've got to learn to submit to God in real time. And what you do now, you will reap later. That is the law of sowing and reaping. That what you reap, you will sow. And it's a spiritual concept. And it also is just in the world as well. Whatever you reap, you're going to sow. If you reap submission, this scripture tells us, you'll be exalted in due time. But if you sow rebellion and won't submit to God, you won't see the favor of God in your life. And so submit to God. Submit to God-given authority. Why God-given authority? Because Romans 13 verse 1 says this, for there is no authority except from God. And so the people that are in authority in your life, they are put there by God. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. In other words, God's saying, I put authority into your life. And so, believe it or not, that boss at work that you don't like, God put them there. Maybe God put them there to make you a better Christian. Iron sharpens iron. But whatever authority is there, even in our governments, there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. And so God is the one that places people in positions of authority. We don't choose the authority. The Bible says God chooses the authority. Now, I bet a lot of people that want to choose their authority. But when you choose your authority, you become the authority. So Romans 13 tells us that God puts people in authority, and those that are in authority have been instituted by God. So I'm talking today about submitting to God first and foremost, but we can't go past the fact that God requires us to submit to the authority that he puts in place. And so if you think you're going to get into the kingdom of God without submitting, I'm just going to be plain and clear, you're fooling yourself. You can't just do whatever you want to do. Now, I talked about the struggle to submit. We saw it in the story, the battleship and the lighthouse, the struggle to submit, but it really shouldn't be hard to submit to God. If you know who God is, it shouldn't be hard to submit to him. You see, The reason we some people find it hard, and let's just be real, the reason why some people find it hard to submit to God is because they see themselves as not needing instruction. They see themselves as knowing a lot. They see themselves as being very knowledgeable. They won't submit to God because they see themselves as not needing instruction. And I'm sorry to say, they take it a little bit further and they see themselves as being better than God. They're the ones that struggle to submit. But here's the thing. When you realize that He is God and you're not, then submission should just come very easily. Mika, I know you're a good man, but I don't think you've been speaking anything into existence recently, have you? No. I mean, you get home, will you get homework to do? Do you ever just walk into your room and say, let the homework be done? No? You tried it? You wish, eh? For those of you that like working in the kitchen, just walk in the kitchen. And just like God spoke, He said, let there be light. And you just say, let there be dinner. Roast chicken. Okay, so you're admitting by your own admission today and by the laughs that I'm hearing that none of you have that ability. God can just speak anything to existence. He created the whole world with the spoken word. He is God. And as good as you may think you are, and as smart as you think you are, you cannot out-God God. And so when we realize this, we're like, hey, I'm in awe of you, God. You're so much better than me. I mean, it sounds silly even to use the word better. Your ways are far above my ways. Your thoughts are above my... And when we realize who God is, submission is just natural. But if we really think we're something, if we really think that we're no better than God and we think we're better than God, then submission can be a struggle. Maybe some of us need to just magnify God. Magnifying God, take a magnifying glass, doesn't make anything bigger. But when we magnify God, He becomes bigger in our view. And some of us need to begin to magnify God and praise God so we begin to realize just how big He is and how small we are. Everybody say submission. Now, in the Bible, the word submission is the Greek word hupotasso, which is an interesting word because it means under or arrange, or to arrange under. Now, God's idea of submission is not, you can do this, you're going to submit. I'm going to make it painful for you until you submit. Now, that's not submission in the Bible. Submission in the Bible is that hupotasso, under arrange, or to range under. So when we submit to God, Brother Malachi, we are arranging ourselves under God. It's the same word when it says, wives, submit to your husbands. Wives, arrange yourself under your husband in Ephesians 5. Arrange. It's a voluntary thing. It's something that we choose to do. We arrange under. It's a military term. It is also a word they use to describe how the military is organized. Submission is one of those words that we like to avoid. It's one of those words that we struggle with. Submission. Now, submission can be broken into two words. It's the word sub and it's the word mission. All right? So I'm going to ask somebody what the word sub means. What's the word sub mean, Brother Alex?
Under,
okay? Submarine, under the marine, under the water. All right? What about the mission, Sam? What is mission?
Something to accomplish.
Something to accomplish. Very good. That's a better answer than I would have given. So, we put what we want to do under what God wants to do. We submit our mission, submission, my mission under God's mission. We arrange ourselves under Him. And here it is. The Bible talks about the power of agreement. Wherever two or three agree together, there I am in the midst. When you agree together, you can speak, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. There is power in agreement, but I'm going to submit to you today that there is even more power in submission. Submission. Hupotasso. Now, we read about this man named Paul. Paul just happened to write 2/3 of the New Testament. And Paul, he was, before he became a Christian, he was a terrible man. He was persecuting, killing Christians, doing all sorts of craziness. And Saul, this is before he became Paul, he was on the road to Damascus. And the Bible says he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against Christians in the city. He wasn't a nice man. But as he was walking along the road to Damascus, God shone a light on him. And a light surrounded Saul on the road to Damascus. And a miracle took place. And as Saul is standing there, God says to him, "Why are you kicking against the pricks? Why won't you submit? Why are you being so stubborn? Why you always want to do things your way, Saul?" And what did he say? A miracle happens. He said, "Lord, who art thou, Lord?" He realizes that Jesus is Lord, and he calls him appropriately. He says, "Who art thou, Lord?" That word Lord means owner, boss. "Who art thou, Lord?" And then after he has established who the Lord is, then he asks the next question, "What will you have me do?" See, before the road to Damascus experience, Paul was doing what he wanted to do. But now he has an experience with God, and now Saul wants to do what God wants him to do. When we look at what transpired through the rest of his life, the whole life of Paul from that day on, it is apparent that he lived a life that was in total and complete surrender to God. He lived a life that was in total and complete submission to God. He was blessed by God. He was delivered by God. He was healed by God. He was used by God in a wonderful way. But it all started with submission. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, he was a man of importance. He was an important man in the Sanhedrin. He was an important man in religious circles. However, he was ready to lay it all down. Everything that he was, as important as he was ready to lay it all down when God spoke to him on the road to Damascus. He said, "God, I'm laying it all down. What will you have me do?" And so I've come to encourage you today. Submission is not something we like to talk about. It's something that goes against our fleshly grain. But I want to encourage you to overcome that struggle to submit and embrace the power of submission. Tap in to the power of submission today. There is power in submission. Now let's go to a great account in the Bible in Genesis chapter 22 and verses 1 to 8. Genesis chapter 22 and verses 1 to 8. It says here, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And he said unto him," everyone say, God tempted him. It wasn't the devil, all right? "And he said, Abraham," what did Abraham say? "Behold, here I am." That's a great way to respond when God speaks to you. "Here I am." And you see, Abraham got into the habit of saying, "Here I am." "And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose up. I like that. God tells him to do something that seems way out there. And what happens? He just says, just doesn't say anything. He didn't argue. He just says, "And the next morning, Abraham rose up early in the morning. And he saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young men, you stay here with the donkey or you stay here with the ass and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come to you again. And so Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and he laid it upon Isaac, his son." Okay? "He laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac said unto Abraham, his father, he said, my father." What did dad say? He said what he always says, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Well, but here's the fire, dad. We got the fire. We got the wood. That's all cool. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. I like that, because when God asked Abraham for something as hard as offering his son, all the Bible says is he got up early in the morning. He never questioned God. He never argued with God. The Bible just says he got up early in the morning. And you know what he would have been thinking? He would have been thinking, let's see what God's got in store today. What does God want me to do? Remember, he had already left Ur of the Chaldees. God told him to just walk. There is power in submission. Everyone say there's power in submission. And it goes on to say, and they came to a place to which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound his son Isaac and laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took a knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said what he always says, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For I know that thou fearest God, seeing you would not even withhold your son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. And he looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Everyone say Jehovah Jireh. As it is this said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And so there are many things that are true about God. There are many things that are true about God. There's many things that you can know about God. But that doesn't mean that you will personally experience it in your life. Let me say that again. There are many things that you can know about God, but that doesn't mean that you will experience those things, that you will personally experience those things in your life. You can know that God is merciful. And you may live and never have your sins forgiven, even though you know that God is merciful. Many people know that Jesus is a Savior, but they may never receive salvation just because they know that He's a Savior. You may know God to be all the things that the Bible calls Him, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, that He's the God of all peace. And yet somebody may know that God is the God of peace, yet peace may evade them their whole life. Why? And here it is. Abraham knew, Brother Morty, that God was a provider. He said to his son, before he even experienced it, he said, my God shall provide. He is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. When he's making his way up the mountain, Abraham knew that God would provide in spite of not having any evidence yet. He hadn't even experienced it yet. Abraham declared, God will provide. He knew it. He spoke it, but he didn't experience it until he climbed the mountain and was obedient and submitted to God. And there are many things that we can know about God, but you will never experience them in your life until you submit to God. You can know God can bless, but you'll only experience it when you're submitted to Him. You'll know that God can save. We thank God for the cross. But you can know God can save, but unless you submit and repent, you will never experience that in your life. You can know that He's the God of all peace, Jehovah Shalom, all of those things. You can know all of those things about God, but you will never experience them until you submit. And Abraham, he could have stopped. He could have stopped at the bottom of the mountain and say, okay, God, I've come this far and I'm ready to go up that mountain, but you give me the ram first. And there are a lot of us, a lot of Christians these days, they're asking for rams at the bottom of the mountain. And God says, no, no, I give rams after obedience, after submission. You see, write this down if you're taking notes today, that submission precedes provision. If you want God to provide for you, submit to Him. If there was going to be a ram caught in the thicket to put on that altar, there had to be submission first, because submission precedes provision. And if you want to experience God in your life, you have to submit to Him in every way. I mean, even everybody can say, yes, I know Jesus is a Savior, but you're not going to experience salvation until you're submitted to Him. To be obedient to Him. And so don't be like those people that would stand at the bottom of the mountain and say, you know what, I'm going to stay here and I'm happy to walk up that mountain, but God, you got to do what I want first. It's like the battleship speaking to the lighthouse. Change your course 10 degrees. Do this way, God. Do this that way, God. And God says, no, I only work when you've submitted. And so what Abraham knew to be true, that God is a provider, it didn't come to pass until he had fully submitted to God. And some people, they like to negotiate with God. God, answer my prayer. I'll give an offering to church. Or if you answer my prayer, I'll even consider teaching Sunday school. God, if I get that promotion, I'm going to be at church more often. And we think we can negotiate with God, all of those things. We like to come to God thinking like we can change his mind and negotiate with him. You see, God cannot be fully known. God cannot be fully experienced unless we are fully submitted to him in our lives. Let me tell you, you can't experience God fully unless you are submitted to him. You don't negotiate yourself to spiritual victory. You submit yourself to spiritual victory. I don't know where the lamb's going to come from. That's what Abraham said. Hey, I don't know where the lamb's going to come from. But if God told me to go up the mountain and sacrifice, I'm going to go up to the mountain. I'm going to submit and I'm going to obey and I'm going to leave the lamb in God's hands. You see, anytime, listen to me, write it down if you want to take notes. Anytime you negotiate with God, you are negotiating away from what is best for you. God loves you. He has your best interests at heart. God's provision will come through your submission. Now, Jesus' half-brother James, he said, God resists the proud. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And then it says this, so therefore submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What does it say? First, submit, then what? Resist, and then the devil will flee. You don't resist the devil until you first submit to God. That's pretty critical when it comes to spiritual warfare. You don't resist the devil if you're not submitted to God. And we know. We got a lot of knowledge. We can know that there's power in the name of Jesus. But the name of Jesus isn't going to work for you unless you're submitted to him. It's not like some magic thing that we can just pull out and say, well, let's just try Jesus. I mean, we tried everything else. Let's try Jesus. It's not some magic name, some magic formula, some magic wand, some genie that you just pull out. It comes out of the bottle or something like that. No, it's not like that. The seven sons of Sceva, I think it's in Acts. Let me just have a look. You can look at it there for yourself. In Acts chapter 19, verse 15. They're there and they're trying to cast a spirit, an evil spirit out of somebody. And they're there. And when they're praying for this person who had the evil spirit, the evil spirit speaks to the seven sons of Sceva. That'd be scary. The evil spirit says, ha, we know Jesus, we know Paul, but who are you? I mean, what sort of authority have you got? You see, you're not under authority. You're not submitted. I mean, you're trying to say the name of Jesus and you're trying to cast me out by a God that you're not even submitted to. We know Paul, he is submitted to God on the road to Damascus. We know Jesus, but who are you? You're not submitted. And we can say Jesus until we're blue in the face. But there's no power unless we're submitted. You can know about all the names of God and how the name of Jesus came about, all of those things. But unless you're submitted, when you call on the name of Jesus, the power comes because you are submitted to him. I tell you today, God doesn't give rams at the bottom of the mountain. He gives them at the top of the mountain. God doesn't give rams on this side of obedience. He gives them on the other side of obedience. God doesn't give rams on this side of submission. It's only after you're submitted that you will see the provision of God. Somebody say amen. Submission. Forgive me for making you uncomfortable today. No, don't. I mean it. Sometimes we get offended in church. My dad used to say, I hope that I offend you into heaven. I hope that I offend you into heaven. I hope that I offend you to submit. But let's go back. You probably thought, well, Pastor, what has Matthew chapter 8 got to do with this sermon today? We started off in Matthew chapter 8, and now we're talking about rams at the bottom of the mountain. How did that happen? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 8 again. Now, only one person in the Gospels surprised Jesus. Only one person surprised Jesus with their faith. So much so that Jesus said to the guys with him, he said, hey, this is marvelous. I have not seen faith like this. And so we can learn something from this centurion at Capernaum. You see, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, once marveled. He marveled at the faith that he found in this man. This centurion from Capernaum comes to Jesus. He says, Jesus, my servant is sick. He's sick of the palsy. He's grievously tormented. And Jesus said, okay, no probs. I will come and heal him. And then the centurion kind of goes into a discourse, which we're trying to understand today. He said, Lord, he uses the word Lord. He said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. He understands submission. He understands authority. He says, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant will be healed. God, you don't have to submit to me. You don't have to come under me. You don't have to change course because of anything that I say. And you know, a lot of times we want God to work on our own terms. We want God to come under our roof and we want God to do things the way we think that he should do them. We have a need. And we say, God, I got a need. And this is the way I want you to provide. This is the way I want you to move. Come under my roof. But then he goes on. He says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. I ask him to do anything, and they do it. I've got authority. I'm under authority. I know who you are. I'm not worthy for you to come under me. And so the centurion understood the authority of Jesus. This centurion was a military man. He understood it. Before he mentioned people being under him, he made sure that they understood that he was under somebody else. And that's where authority comes from. Anybody that goes around and isn't under authority, let me tell you, a headless man is a monster. A headless man is a monster. Somebody who is not under authority is a monster. You don't want to be under anybody that's not under authority. In your workplace, try to work for somebody that is answerable to nobody. That's one of the scariest things you could ever experience. And so this centurion understood that for me to be able to be effective and fruitful in what I do, it's important that I am under authority. He was talking about submission, and Jesus says, I'm going to come and heal him. And he goes, no, Jesus, you don't have to do things the way that I want you to do it. You don't have to come under my roof. I know you could just speak and everything would submit to you. Just like the light and the waves and the water and all of creation was created with the spoken word of God. There's power in the word of God. Just speak and everything will submit at your voice, God. You don't have to come under me. And what happened? He says, Jesus, I know your authority. All you need to do is speak. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Everyone say he marveled. And he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. What is this faith? You see, I want to tell you today, this is the bottom line of my message. If you don't hear anything else that I'm speaking today, you can't have faith without submission. The book of James tells us faith without works is dead. That faith that has no action is dead. Faith without submission is dead. And Jesus then said to the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed that same hour. Submission. Submission. If the musicians could come right now. We're getting ready to finish. But what makes God marvel is when we are submitted to Him. What activates our faith? What activates our faith is submission to God. And where are you today? I told the story about the aircraft carrier, and we have a brother here who is very high up. He's going to become maybe an admiral, and very high up in the military, in the Navy. He understands about command and authority. And how crazy it is to expect the lighthouse to move for you so you can have your own way and do things the way you want. And I tell you, we have no business telling Jesus, the light of the world, how to do things. We submit to Him. We have no business standing at the bottom of the mountain and saying, Jesus, you provide the ram and then I'll move. No, no. God says, no, you climb the mountain, I'll provide the ram. You see, Abraham knew a lot of things about God, but he didn't experience those things until he was submitted to God. And that is where some of us are today. If you want to walk in victory, it starts with submission. If you want to experience the provision of God, it starts with submission. If you want to be blessed by God, it starts with submission. If you want the favor of God, it starts with submission. The power of God. If you want salvation today, it's simple. Repent, submit, turn from your ways, start living God's ways. Come under Him, submit to God. If you're in spiritual warfare today, you can say the name of Jesus as much as you want, but if you're submitted to Him, then there's only power when you're submitted. And I tell you, what made Jesus marvel is this man understood submission. It wasn't just his faith. But his faith was activated by his submission. Let's stand across this place right now. It's our submission that activates our faith. It's our submission that precedes the provision of God. And so today, my brothers and sisters, sweet people of Calvary Chapel, understand God's authority. Understand who we are and who we are not. Be in submission. You can know a lot about God, but you'll never experience it until you're submitted. You can know God is Jehovah Jireh, my provider, but you will not experience until you submit. Now in church, we do something. We raise our hands. There's two ways you can raise your hands. It's like this. It's like, God, I receive your blessings. And then you lift them a little bit higher. That's the international sign of surrender. We surrender and we submit to God. So right now, can we lift our hands all across this place and let us just receive what God is speaking to us right now. Lord God, you're speaking to us. Here I am, Lord God. Lord, I'm in the ocean. So many voices, so much confusion. Lord God, I want to follow your direction. You are the light. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life, oh God. You are the light of the world, Lord Jesus. We have no business telling you to move, oh God. Help us to be submitted to you, God. Oh Lord, for those of us who are standing at the bottom of the mountain, waiting for a ram, Lord God. Lord Jesus, help us to have the faith to step out and to be obedient and to submit to you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.